Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
This is Sports Overnight America with your host, Jeff Rich.
Hello, everyone. Good evening and welcome in. It is Sports Overnight America here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Jeff Rich with you from Phoenix, Arizona. To my right, I have the lovely Jen Rich. Jen, how are you doing this evening? Ready to get everybody ready for their weekend?
Yes, very much so.
And then from Parts Unknown, we've got Shane Koenig joining us. He is our just kind of jack-of-all-trades analyst. I'd say that you're a lot more solid than I am with basketball, and you're probably a little more vested in when the offsides flag gets thrown. To my Chiefs fan friend and colleague, Shane Koenig, how are you doing?
You know what? I'm dealing. I'm sure we'll talk about the Chiefs, and I have some strong opinions about Kadarius Toney as a football player. But you know, we're getting through. The playoffs are still there, and we'll see how it goes from there.
A lot of parity in a good way in the AFC anyway this year. I think that the NFC is extremely top heavy, but you know, the Chiefs knew that they were going to take some financial hardship from dishing out so much money to Patty Mahomes, and then you pay that Super Bowl tax, which means you lose a lot of veterans that want to go make big money, and they can't, you know, take less money and stay in your offense for the sake of their own livelihood. We've already got basketball and hockey season underway. College basketball used to be huge on my radar. I don't know where it is with you in the present.
It's hard for me if Missouri isn't even like relevant, it's hard for me because there's so many different divisions, so many teams you want to watch. I love the draft, so trying to stay up on the players that might be involved is tough to fit.
Staples and HP want you to have a happy holla-deal. That's right, holla-deal. Now, during Staples holla-deals, you can save up to $115 on the HP Smart Tank 6001 all-in-one printer with up to 2 years of original HP ink right in the box. Plus, find savings of up to 40% on select HP computers and monitors. Happy holla-deals from Staples and HP, America's most trusted printer brand. Smart Tank offer ends 12/23. HP Tech offers end 1/6/24. Visit staples.com/HP for details.
Are you looking for a guilt-free holiday season? Check out 100calsnacks.com. With 100% natural ingredients and no sugar added, these snacks are low in carbs, but high in protein and fiber, and absolutely delicious. You'll get a kick out of the chocolate brownies with ashwagandha, and use code NOGUILT for 25% off your order. That's the number 100calsnacks.com. Get the energy boost you need with a potent dose of superfood for just 100 calories. That's 100calsnacks.com.
Wendy's Peppermint Frosty and Frosty Cream Cold Brew make the perfect gift for anyone in your life, especially for you. Yeah, this year you're sitting on your own lap and getting yourself what you want. Finally. And if you need a little more pep in your step, get yourself a refreshing peppermint frosty cream cold brew. Or you can give it to your mom. Whatever.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Vanilla Frosty is temporarily unavailable.
This episode is brought to you by Columbia Sportswear. It's snowing again, and that wind chill is killer. But you're not worried about that because you shop the Omni Heat Infinity Collection. It's warmth perfected with tiny gold dots that reflect your body heat inside and protect you from the cold outside. No snow or chilly temps can stop you now. Go out anyway. Shop the Omni Heat Infinity Collection now at Columbia.com/infinity.
This report is sponsored by Office Depot. The holidays are here, and it's the perfect time to save on must-have supplies, time-saving services, and top-shelf gifts for everyone on your list at Office Depot Office Max. Small business owners looking to meet end-of-year business goals while keeping costs at a minimum can enroll in the Office Depot Office Max Business Select program at a discounted rate for a limited time. Now through Sunday, December 31st, a first-year membership for new members is just $29. Members get exclusive discounts, convenient in-store and shipping options, and more. Shoppers can save time and enjoy the moments that truly matter by taking advantage of free 20-minute in-store pickup, same-day delivery, and same-day printing services for qualifying orders. And looking for the perfect gift? Find suggestions for techies, teachers, teens, college students, and everyone in between online at officedepot.com/giftguides. Visit officedepot.com and Office Depot and Office Max stores nationwide to learn more.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
Jeff Rich with you from Phoenix. Jeff Rich is sitting here with me. I still don't know where Sheen is at, but he's sitting somewhere and he's hanging out with us tonight. When you're not listening to this live, make sure you check us out on social medias at What's Up Riches, at Jeff Rich Talks, at Sheen Doesn't, at wherever he's sitting in whatever part of the country, at A Girl with Many Hats, and then of course don't forget the Sports Byline Network at Sports Byline USA. Jeff, Ohio, Shane, Missouri, Cotton Bowl?
Jeff? Question mark? Confirmation they are going to play each other?
And that's about all I get from the the search engines on Missouri is that they're playing in this game. I mean, there's like 15 articles about the guys from Ohio State that are in the transfer protocol and won't be participating. And then you got like another seven guys that could be entering the NFL draft, undecided there, but they're going to play in the Jerry Dome on January 1st. Oh, wait, isn't it like December 29th?
Yeah, it's not a New Year. They call it a New Year's 6, but it's not New Year's. So I don't know exactly how you get there. But I mean, I would say here's the, I feel like it's a lot more about, for Missouri fans, it's more about a big step forward this year and where they can go from there. And for Ohio State fans, it's a big letdown. And I think the players are reacting accordingly. You know, you have transfer people that are going to the transfer portal that probably, if they're in the top four, probably wouldn't be putting their name in at this point. And Missouri, it loves the idea that they may be a destination for some of those players. So they're kind of not going in two different directions. Ohio State's still an amazing team. I think that a lot of people in Missouri are like, okay, we're playing another team that's really good outside of the SEC. Let's see how it goes. And I think Ohio State is more recovering from being bummed out about not being in the top four.
Yeah, you can always get that lag, no matter how much you try to coach it out of those guys. You know, obviously they want to, you know, they want to be in that field with Alabama and I was going to say Oregon, but Texas. You know, yeah, teams that essentially have the same record, but they've got the privilege of playing in their conference championship game. Ohio State just hit, and I think this plagues the SEC West a lot too. You know, your Auburns, your LSUs, yeah, you know, occasionally they'll break through. But when you got Alabama in your own division, and Michigan suffered for this for years, you know, mm-hmm, when you've got a juggernaut in your own division, it is extremely challenging to get out of your conference and into that national picture. And it won't be soon when we go to 12, but at four teams, the games still matter. I mean, you know, what do you make of Alabama losing to Texas and to a further degree of Texas losing to Oklahoma? But it's hard when the field's limited to four, and I think that we're going to miss these days when we had one through four and five. You know, five might have a case like Florida State, but it's not a great case. You know, don't believe that team should be playing in the national championship generally at five. You wouldn't have had that problem going to eight, but going to 12, Ohio State, Michigan doesn't matter. The SEC championship, in a case like Georgia, it won't matter because they'll survive and, you know, they'll still have a chance at the national championship. And maybe the second time around, if they play that team that knocks them off from the Western Division, how do you figure that out? Because you had two games on neutral surfaces. One is your conference championship. The other is your national championship. I know that we always recognize the national champion, but I mean, that's kind of a splitting of, big wins, style points.
I think that it kind of almost leads to, it feels like it's going to be similar to an NBA style of rest. You have players that when you're at a big time school, you have the player that's a backup, that's a highly recruited player that can play four games and not lose a year of eligibility. And Ohio State, for example, just because I know Kyle McCord's last name, it's like whoever is backing a McCord, that you sit him during, the worst team in the Big Ten. At that time, you sit him against them and don't play him because, like you said, we can beat this team without having to worry about that. And you don't take those games quite as seriously. I mean, you could get to the point where Georgia and Alabama play each other. They're 4 and 5 in the top 12. And then it's like, okay, well, do we really want to show them everything and try as hard as humanly possible when we're going to be in the top 12 and need to show, have everybody healthy for a run in what they were now, the playoffs? I think that that's going to be a huge challenge. I think there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to be their own advocates, especially with NIL and money available, that they're going to want to sit and rest for the most important games. And at the end of the season, you may have what we see in the NFL. Hey, we're going to rest our players for the final game. Let's put in this rookie Patrick Mahomes to play for Alex Smith and see what we have because we already got our playoff spot locked up.
And the Ravens did that, Lamar's rookie year. Flacco, I think, played in the first 15 games, and, Lamar just played that 16th game. And, kind of similar results. It jump-started the following year when both of those guys in consecutive years were going to take over the reins in year two with their team. All right, tell me a little bit about Missouri, because I think that you have to define Ohio State largely on reputation. I will say this, Kyle McCord is not in the transfer protocol now or in February if Ohio State's one of those four teams. But I'm thinking that they have this meaningless game ahead of them. I mean, it probably means a lot more to Missouri than it does to Ohio State because this is a chance for Missouri, whereas Ohio State, this is a consolation game.
Yeah, I think no doubt about it. I have my daughter's best friend's mom and dad and grandfather are huge Buckeye fans. We jokingly text them on Saturdays, especially when they have a big game, right when the game is about to start, to see if they want to hang out. And they're always like, the game. They literally just text us, the game. And we're like, we know, we just messing with you. They didn't even care that they were playing Missouri because they had basically lost to Michigan. And then their main goals changed. And Missouri is excited because their players want to show what they can do, not only in the SEC, but in against other really, really good teams. So it is a bigger deal. I am now excited about the idea that we're a player in the transfer portal. We have five guys that are starters on smaller conference teams or like University of Memphis or a kid that is at a bigger school, has Missouri on their top five as they've received offers. I would have never imagined that was the case before. You get the SEC leading rusher coming from Missouri as a transfer from a D2 school. So it's been a pretty cool year, and it could end with a pretty fun victory and a good story. But you're also talking about, who are they playing? I mean, right. they're going to be playing an Ohio State team whose starting quarterback is leaving, like you said, as an incredibly efficient and only a 2-loss quarterback, but he's moving on. So what does that mean for them? Is that they're going to have more practice time to have a younger player come in? It's going to be a very interesting dynamic for sure.
Effectively a spring game for right. Ohio State, because you absolutely. Have so many players to party. You're going to have a lot of players that want this game, that want to, that don't want to go out. And I mentioned this on the show earlier in the week. You don't want your last football game to be a loss to Michigan. And, you know, for some guys, that doesn't matter. For Marvin Harrison Jr., I doubt it matters. But for those guys that came to the school, fell in love with the school, you know, made it part of their family, as far as they're concerned, they're still Ohio State Buckeyes, and they want to go out there and prove themselves. But I think the fans are going to care a lot, because Ohio State, despite their success against Alabama and Arkansas once, I think that the stigma that Ohio State can't beat SEC teams, and especially if they lose to Missouri, it's going to do that much more to damage their very fragile egos there in Columbus. So let's send it to a break right now. Jen's here with me, Shane's elsewhere. I'm Jeff Rich, Sports Overnight America, and we'll be right back.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Hey, I came as fast as I could. What's wrong?
Everything's okay. I just need you to know I'm glowing up.
You just texted SOS Get Here Now.
And I stand by that, because I switched to Cricket and got the all-new Motorola Razr. I have entered my flip era, and I am glowing up.
I'm gonna go back home.
I support that.
Switch to Cricket and get the all-new Motorola Razr for $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Must open a new line on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Hey, it's Amanda, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
This message is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Wake up to the taste you crave with breakfast at Burger King. Rise and shine with a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit with melted American cheese layered between warm buttermilk biscuits. Or grab and go with a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. A toasted croissant with savory sizzling sausage. Burger King breakfast sandwiches and Simply Orange. Better together. Enjoy a Burger King breakfast with Simply Orange juice and get your vitamin C one delicious sip at a time with no added sugar. All Burger King breakfast sandwiches pair perfectly with crispy hash browns and all-natural Simply Orange juice. Start your day with a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. It's thick-cut smoked bacon, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. Never sweetened, never concentrated, and never frozen, Simply Orange pairs
pairs perfectly with a delicious breakfast at Burger King. Better together, Burger King breakfast with Simply Orange Juice at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
Hello again, and welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I am still Jen Rich. I am still hanging out with Jeff and Shane. I know I've been talking a lot, so maybe this segment I'll just kind of sit back and let you guys discuss.
Yeah, put it on autopilot.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say stuff. Yeah. Words.
You don't want to weigh in on the clash of the Titans between the Bears and the Browns this weekend?
No, there's nothing to talk about.
Do Bears fans actively want the team to lose, or do you think that they're enjoying
the
winning?
I think you get to a point in the season where you do kind of start thinking about those draft picks. I, as you know, do not waste a lot of my time watching Bears games anymore, because when I do make a point to watch it, I immediately regret it, and I have no other regrets in my life except for when I sit down and watch a Bears game.
I like taking you out publicly because you can blow the dust off that Bears apparel that you've got.
I have so much of it. For somebody who doesn't even really care about football, and for a team that's been mediocre at best for like years, I have a lot of Bears stuff, and I think it's because it's just always on sale. You know, they get, their season, they suck all the time. Their stuff goes on sale. I get beanie hats, regular hats for like $10, $12. Like, that's how it happened.
That's the advantage of your team sucking is that stuff goes on clearance.
Hey, right. There's nothing wrong with good clearance items if it has the team name on it. I mean, I see hats right now on the sidelines of games that I remember like Logo Athletic put together, and now it's like, oh, now it's New Era. Yeah, that doesn't look any different than what I wore when I was in seventh grade. And
yeah,
it's the same stuff. Just keep it around. Just keep it around.
The same hat is like $80 now.
Yeah, exactly. So now you just sell it for $80. Just keep it around. Keep it in the dustproof bin, and you'll be good.
Yeah, that's a lot of investment for a at the time $14 starter snapback made of polyester.
Anyway, hey Shane, let me ask you this. Jen has a lot of Bears stuff. Do you have a lot of Chiefs apparel, or does your love just live inside of you and you don't need to flaunt it?
No, because I have lived through 30 years of poor court. Well, not poor. There was a Trent Green mixed in there, but 30 overall years of not starting a first round quarterback that we drafted. So now that we have some success and a guy that seems to be sticking around for quite some time, I am heavily invested in Chiefs gear. I know I'm talking to the wrong two people about this subject to compare. I own 75 hats, and 8 of them are Chiefs hats. So
that's a good ratio.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a lot of minor league hats like you two do, but I do enjoy a good hat, like Jen says, and I currently subscribe to it. A large chunk of them are on sale. I buy a lot of them at the end of the year when, various websites have things 40 to 50% off, but I do own a lot of hats.
All right, we'll move on from the hat conversation after this last question.
Okay.
Do you own both caps for the Royals and the Rockies?
Yes.
All right. So the Kansas City Chiefs, I was thinking about their remaining schedule because, they go to Foxborough. They play, and I think after that, two of the last three are at home.
Yes.
I'm looking at it because going to Foxborough, the only game that, even represents a hint of letdown by the Chiefs would be the Bengals game. But yeah, the rest of those games, that game against the Chargers, the lame duck Chargers in Week 18, there is no way that the Chiefs can lose that game.
I would say that any other team with any other group of wide receivers would these next four games, well, maybe not against the Patriots because their defense is amazing, but I would say the next four games are get right games. It's let's move some people around. Let's try out some other people in different routes. Let's try to figure out how we get our offense. It's improved in the second half where they were scoring 9 points a game at the beginning, and now they're at 14. So they are scoring more second half points, but their offense looks like garbage. I think that I would actually tell you that if Jake Browning keeps playing the way that he's playing for the Bengals, they will lose the game against the Bengals.
Now I'm a little more concerned about that game, having seen Browning play the last couple of weeks, I was when it was first announced that Burrow was out for the season. I was like, all right, put it in an envelope, mail it to 2024 because the Bengals are done. But it's pretty amazing to see what he's been able to do. And as obvious as it is that the Steelers are terrible, they're still in that in the hunt graphic on the playoff race. In fact, I think that they're actually in if the season were to ridiculously end today.
Yes, the playoff picture is so sad that indeed the Broncos are also in the hunt and only a game behind the Chiefs. It's a lot of people thought that the top of the AFC was, or the AFC as a whole was stronger than the NFC. But I think if you give me, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Niners, there's not three teams in the AFC I'd put against them right now. So it kind of the higher strength teams is very stacked at the top of the NFC versus the AFC having a lot of average teams, but being led by the Ravens and the Dolphins.
It's funny because you may have heard, but I fancy the Cleveland Browns a little bit historically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at them as a team that could potentially win the AFC, but despite the head-to-head result in Cleveland back in October, I don't think that they match up well with the Niners. I don't think that they match up well with the Eagles, and I don't think that they match up well with the Cowboys. But when I look around the AFC, the Chiefs are beatable, but I think that they have Cleveland's number still. The Broncos actually beat them head-to-head this year. The Texans, that's one of their final four games. That's no slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination. But I also look at them, they could beat, they can and did beat the Colts. They have beaten the Ravens, and I think that the Ravens, despite their struggles, I think that they're the best team in the AFC.
I think they have the ability, everything that they have except for losing Mark Andrews, they have the players that if they even play an average game, they can beat a lot of teams. The problem is that if they don't play an average game, they can lose to a lot of teams too. Right now, Kansas City could play their best game and maybe get out of the second round. They just don't have their best from their offense, especially their wide receivers, is not good enough for them to get far. If the Ravens put it together and get everything, if everything works out the way that they hope and the way that they built that team, they're a really, really tough team to beat. I just don't see the Chiefs putting that together. I think they have a very low ceiling when it comes to their wide receivers and their offense.
Let me ask you a question. I want you to keep it open-ended. If the Chiefs scored on that hook and ladder play, and Kadarius Toney doesn't get called offsides, do you trust that the Chiefs' defense would have prevented the Bills from going the other way and winning that game?
I believe that the Buffalo Bills would have, and it's a phrase that a lot of people say, the Chargers be charging. The Bills against the Chiefs, they are the Buffalo Bills that lose games to the Chiefs for no reason. Not no reason, but it seems to be there's this like roadblock to beat the Chiefs, especially in tight games that have that playoff kind of feel to it. So I don't necessarily think that it's all would be confidence boosting about the Chiefs defense. I just feel like Josh Allen would do something, whether that's they decide to throw it four times and turn the ball over on downs, or he comes up with one of those untimely turnovers. But I do think that as a whole, the Chiefs kind of have the number of Josh Allen.
Yeah, it's all between his ears. I think that if he overcomes it, he could be great, but he's just going to be a guy that has glimpses of.
If he puts it together, he's John Elway. people in this town are still sad that Elway and the, as a GM and the scouts there decided to pass on. They drafted two huge busts of tall, big arm quarterbacks. And then Josh Allen comes along and they decide that's the one to not draft. He puts it together. He's John Elway.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, you want to take me through your take of what happened at the end of Bills v. Chiefs?
Sure. First, let me say this, and I would throw an expletive if we were doing a podcast. Kadarius Toney's not smart. He's a blank idiot. That's the reason he's not on the Giants, is that he doesn't understand the small things. And this is the challenge with all of the wide receivers, other than maybe Rashee Rice as a rookie, with the wide receivers of the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes looks at tape a lot. He knows where guys are going to be open and how to throw them open. They don't know how to run the routes to go along with that. And Tony doesn't do the little things right. One of them being pointing to the referee and saying, am I good in onsides? I think that I don't know this, but everybody says that they usually will communicate to them, hey, you're lining up offsides, you need to back up. And that consistency wasn't there in that game. And that's the frustrating part. But Kadarius Toney needs to know where he's lined up. And when the side judge can't see the ball, that's not good. So I think that that's where it starts and that's where it ends. And that is a challenge for all the wide receivers of the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
All right. We'll wrap this segment right here and now. And on the other side, maybe Shane can explain the meaning behind the in-season tournament. This is Sports Overnight America, and we'll be right back.
Enjoy an ice-cold Coke from Burger King while supporting your community. Coca-Cola is a proud supporter of the Burger King Foundation, which has granted over $60 million in scholarships to over 55,000 scholars, creating brighter futures and positive change in the lives of children and families through education. Now through the end of November, join Burger King in raising funds for the Burger King Foundation's education initiatives and enjoy three delicious menu items for just a dollar. Visit a participating Burger King restaurant and purchase three coupons for $1 to help positively impact your community. Each coupon gets you your choice of a free small soft drink or coffee, free small fries or hash browns, and a free small soft serve. All funds raised stay local, right in your zip code. Burger King Foundation scholarships are open to team members and community members, and your dollar makes a difference. So go ahead and have it your way, and know that you're also giving back to your community. Visit your local participating restaurant or www.burgerkingfoundation.org for more information.
Looking for a fun way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/byline and use code BYLINE. That's code BYLINE at prizepicks.com/byline for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
This message is sponsored by Lysol.
Christina Milian here. I love singing at home with my kids, but did you know that 1 minute of singing can produce 1,000 airborne virus and bacteria-filled droplets? Yes, you heard that right. 1,000 droplets every minute. Yuck. Luckily, Lysol has me covered. New Lysol air sanitizer is the only air care product approved by the EPA that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses while eliminating odors in the air. And it helps to reduce the spread of illness-causing pathogens in the air like cold, flu, and coronavirus. So whether I'm in the studio or at home, Lysol air sanitizer is a must-have for me and my family. Plus, it comes in 3 scents. My favorite is Simple Fresh. Find Lysol air sanitizer at a store near you so you can continue belting out your favorite songs knowing that the air around you is sanitized.
To learn more, visit www.lysol.com. Now, what should I sing next?
Now, back to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm still Jen. Jeff's still here. Shane's still hanging out. I'm glad Shane's hanging out. Shane is one of the probably most knowledgeable in basketball people that I know. So maybe you could give us a little explanation about this in-season tournament. Specifically, why?
The next segment, and every time a big question mark from Jen. The really, really short answer is I'm not sure why, and that's probably even longer than I needed to make it. People enjoy it and seem to like it because the players care, and they don't usually care at this time of the year. The idea that people were saying, hey, why don't you just start the NBA season at the new year, and it'll Christmas to New Year's could be some games that are just, you know, practice games or training camp or even started on Christmas Day. I think that these games and the hype that the media has put on them and that the NBA as a whole has put on them has made it so that they make a little bit more of a difference and that they're in the spotlight. But in all, like, at the end of last year, at the end of this year, the games that happen in the in-season tournament count the same as the team, as the wins and losses that happened in the non-season tournament, in-season tournament last year. So the simple answer is I have no idea. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
It seemed like it was just a big excuse to play basketball games that mean something in Las Vegas and to completely Oregon duck your floors in the NBA. I mean, I don't know a single person. Maybe it's just because of my age and the demographic of the type of people that I surround myself with. But the next person that tells me, you know, that those floors were anything in a positive context, it will be the first time that I hear it.
I think that you and I are similar in the idea that they did not redesign those floors for you and I. And I totally agree with you. It's like, I don't know if you have watched it, and I would expect you to say no, but I tried to watch an Oregon Ducks basketball game, and their floor is designed like a forest, and it's terrible. I cannot handle it. And it's like the NBA just took that and like put some spray paint stuff on it. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just so frustrating to watch. And the quality of basketball is no different or better. I mean, the LA Lakers winning the in-season tournament and LeBron James trying and Anthony Davis having one really good game and pronouncing that he is him. Yeah, but we'll see at the end of the year if either one of you are healthy, because that's when it matters. And that doesn't change because you got $500,000. So that's where I kind of stand is, I know that the fans really, really don't like the idea of resting players during the regular season. But we're also the same people that if someone doesn't win a title, we discount everything that they do. So that's where players are saving up their energy and their future and their history is they're saving it when they play the Pistons. They're not going to play and they're going to save their energy. And I think that this tournament is trying to combat that. But I think after two or three years of it, it won't make a difference at all. They're going to sit when they want to sit.
Regardless if it's the semifinals or the IST championship.
I could see there being a quote-unquote understanding between teams that it's like, hey, Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to sit, and they're playing the Sixers, and Joel Embiid, and I don't know who else they would sit that would be sitting as well, so they can almost make it an exhibition for their young people. So they get that experience because that $500,000 makes the most difference to them. So it almost feels like.
Would you be more into it if there was a seasonal function? If it guaranteed, let's say that it just guaranteed you the one seed in the playoff, you know, in your conference by winning that tournament.
Say I would even say if you won the in-season tournament, you get that second, the better of the two play-in games. So you only have to win one time and then you're the eight seed. And then if you actually finish in the top four, then you automatically do get the one seed. If you finish 4-8 or 4-10 now, then you automatically get the play-in game. Like, there should be a stack thing where the regular season still matters, but now you automatically, if you're the 10, you automatically get the 9, where you only have to beat one team and then you're in. If you're like an 8 or a 7, you automatically get the 6. If you're in the top 4, you automatically get the 1. But I think there needs to be something that's linked to the playoffs for it to make a difference, so that you're putting a ton of effort in and also getting something that's going to come to fruition later on in the year.
How about top lottery odds?
Ooh, that'd be a good one. Getting more. I think if you got more ping pong balls, that'd be interesting. That'd be cool. So now you're promoting winning rather than tanking. I think that could be cool.
I wish that there was a system that altogether would prevent tanking. And I think that this year is a good example, because by all accounts, it doesn't sound like this incoming draft class is going to be anything sensational, especially compared with this year, where, by the way, the number one overall pick is
in the G League.
You know, he's not making that much of a difference for San Antonio. Yeah, some dreadful teams in the NBA this year, you know, between Detroit and San Antonio. It's it's hard to believe that those teams have been, you know, perennial champions. Yeah, and not so much with Detroit, you know, it was the one time, but that they've been recognized as great franchises in the last 25 years.
Well, and I think even we add in the idea of, I didn't know this, but the WNBA actually takes your winning percentage over the last 2 years. So if you want to tank, you have to do it for 2 years, and that's going to affect a large amount of your income. So you have to really think about the idea of, yeah, let's go ahead and do this, but we're going to affect our revenue and ticket sales for two whole seasons to do that. So I think that might be another really, really good solution.
Rarely does the WNBA set the precedent, but yeah, I want to solve the load management issues, and I want to solve the, the lackluster play in. I mean, my solution to it is, you start the season December 20th. You have, you have your marquee team showcased on opening night, and then you take what's left and you have them play on Christmas Day. Christmas Day shouldn't be that big of an event for the NBA. It should truly be their opening night. Maybe they get the NFL to get out of the way on Monday Night Football, and everything is right there with the NBA. You can't do that with the regular season now, because that extends all the way into January for the NFL.
I mean, the NBA as a whole, my wife, and I think we've talked about this before, thinks it's absolutely the craziest thing that TNT advertises 40 games and 40 nights. And she's like, once the playoffs start, she thinks it should be over in like a month. And it's like, no, we're still like month three of the playoffs. That's crazy to me. And people focus on baseball being too long. I think that basketball needs to take a look at that as well.
The 66 game season, the year that they're, I wasn't, and admittedly, I wasn't looking forward to the 2010-2011 campaign, given the events that happened the spring and summer that preceded it. But, they played 66 games because of the labor struggle, and they more or less started like right around that time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was Christmas or if it was after the new year, but the season didn't suffer but the players did a little bit, because you did that. Yeah. You did those stupid back-to-back-to-back nights, which don't make any sense in the NHL or the NBA.
You know, I know there's not a solution for it, because then you talk about revenue dispersal and having stadiums that are billions of dollars, but I love the idea of, during the pandemic, players were in one location and they got rehab in one location. They didn't have to fly and like take on that wear and tear of double back-to-back games and even traveling in between after that game, and playing three games in two nights, but having to travel after the second game. So I just feel like there's got to be a solution, but you have so many sports that if they shrink down the season, they shrink down the revenue. And you already have put so much money into stadiums and employees and all that stuff that if you eliminate games, you're going to have a harder time getting that revenue to be approved to build new stadiums and to make improvements. Whether or not that's a bad thing or not, you know, it remains to be seen. But there are some people that I'm sure when they look back, wish they would have done things a little bit differently for their organization and their city. So it's tough. I think that there should be, I think the game should matter more, and having less of them is a big part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, the in-season tournament games, they're not even weighted. Would you respect them weighting, you know, weighing those games? Maybe going to a point system like we have in the NHL where, you know, you get 3 points for winning a tournament game versus just getting 2 points, you know, 2 points for a win. You know, we don't really have the 1 point scenario in the NBA because you can play 6 overtimes and it's not nearly as taxing as it is for the skaters, which is why they call, you know, hockey games ties or go to a shootout after 65 minutes.
I love, here's the honest thing. I love the idea of hockey, but I don't follow hockey enough to make sure to know I like understand it all. And it also is like soccer, right? Where it's like, hey, you have this pool play and you get something. It's like, I don't have the mind capacity to put another thing in my head. I have to remember, but it seems to make sense that it should be more weighted.
Yeah. And you know, it's just such nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can think of, you know, a number of leagues. I think it would kill in hockey. You know, you do maybe a, you know, Martin Luther King Day weekend where you take, you know, where you take the division leaders from the 4 divisions,
yeah,
and you play a little round robin tournament, you know, over the weekend, and you know, and for being in that position on, you know, say February 4th, for being in the, you know, you get some kind of incentive, and you know, we talked about playoff, you know, variable playoff seeding, you know, we talk about draft incentives, you know, there's a number of ways to make things more meaningful without really destroying the integrity of, you know, of the regularly scheduled program.
Totally agree. I think that there are people that I know are smarter than me that could figure it out.
All right. Let's talk about the NBA, the whole, is Orlando for real?
They have the talent. And I think that they also have some good young talent that's not only talented but also understands the game. I think as the season continues, they're going to need to make, if they want this year to be something that they're really going to compete for, they need to get a veteran that can kind of, through the tough times and the ups and downs, keep the team stable. So I think when you say for real, are they going to be the number one seed? No, but I think they really could be a good playoff team that's not in the play-in tournament. I think they have a chance to do that for sure.
Yeah, I think that they could give the Celtics fits. Less than 30 seconds to go here. What's your take on Minnesota this year?
I didn't think that they would be this good. Their defense is good. Gobert's back as one of the best defenders in the league, and Anthony Edwards is becoming a top 5 talent in the NBA.
All right, that'll wrap it for right now. We got 1 segment to go. We'll say thank you and good night. Shane's elsewhere. Jen and I are in Arizona. This is Sports Overnight America, and we'll be right back.
One out of 2 Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America with Jeff Rich.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for staying up with us. Shane Koenig joined us this hour. Jen Rich is by my side per usual. I'm Jeff Rich. You're listening to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. And on the way out, baseball's moving a little faster this offseason. I know when you live in the Denver market, much like following the Cleveland team, you can't expect the stove to be very hot at all until we get to, like, spring training and minor league invites and things like that. But big story would be Shohei Ohtani goes up I-5. He's going to play for the Dodgers.
It is a great idea by the ownership groups of the Dodgers. They pay $2 million, and then when they're tired of owning it and they sell it to somebody else, that person is stuck with that debt.
Yeah, I think the Mets have been sold several times since the whole Bobby Bonilla thing. And, exactly. And I really think that, because Bobby Bonilla is done getting paid while Shohei Ohtani's still in the $2 million per phase of his career. So Ohtani's going to get $68 million, and I don't know how that's going to be paid. I hope that it would be like a lump sum payment on July 1st, like it is for Bonilla. But $70 million a year, does anybody touch that in any of the four major sports?
No. I think soccer would be the only place that you would see that, and that's worldwide the most popular sport. So I don't think anybody in American sports is going to be touching that.
I mean, does this honestly feel like a move that the Dodgers feel, gets them over the top and puts them on the mountaintop for a while? Or is this just to steal market share so that he didn't end up making his fame with the Yankees or the Giants for that matter?
I think that at the base level, it is to get him away from other big markets. and that they're hopeful that he can produce like he did when at his best with the Angels. If that takes place, then it's going to completely change the whole market. If not, then it's a lot of marketing, a lot of...